How God Can Comfort Us. The title of this morning's message is going to be The God of All Comfort. And a great chapter of the Bible. We're just going to kind of walk through it this morning and just let God kind of speak to our hearts. But we'll do a couple of quick announcements. Kids Crusade's coming up, and we're excited about Kids Crusade coming up. If there are some sign-up sheets out there, there's only a few more things that are needed. I think there's some cupcakes needed for the Monday night of the Kids Crusade, and there might be a few things on the Let's Make a Deal item. But besides that, everything's pretty much signed up, except for unless you want to be a helper. Senior Luncheon is this coming Tuesday. Now, this has not been in the bulletin the last couple weeks. There's so many other things going on. So if you plan on coming to the Senior Luncheon, we need you to sign up today. And if you want to bring something, there are some sign-up sheets up there for that, too. It says, Dishes in Kitchen. And so sometimes when people bring things for fellowships, they bring their dishes and they leave them there by accident, and we get an accumulation of them. So there are some dishes in there. If you're missing something, take a look at it after a while. After a couple weeks of putting in the bulletin, we'll probably donate it or give it to somebody who's going to use it. Don't come looking for it saying, where's my dish at? So we're telling you now. Camp Barnabas, they leave tomorrow morning, is for our teenagers. They'll be coming back either Friday night or Saturday morning. I'm not sure exactly what the final decision was that. 2 weeks from now, we're having Mission Sunday, and that's with Brother Don Sisk. We're all going to be out in the auditorium. So it's something that we're going to have all our classes together. Because they're setting up for Kids Crusade and things like that, we're going to have to have everything out there. So there'll be no food that day. Whoever has the breakfast, I'm sure Ms. Shirley will take care of letting them know. And then on August 4th, Missionary Jason Donaldson will be with us, and then we're going to be inside the New Fellowship Hall that time. So that is August 4th with Missionary Jason Donaldson. That's going to be the Sunday schools, the 28th and the 4th. I'll be preaching in the 4th in the morning time, but Brother Donaldson will be preaching Sunday school and Sunday evening. And I know what some people are going to think that means is because you have 2 weeks off. You know, I don't have to preach. It's because there's Kids Crusade in the middle, and it's a nice buffer. That's when Brother Sisk was available and Brother Otteson. And so we're excited about what's going to happen, but we'll be able to get a lot of things done that way too. So you be praying for Kids Crusade, be praying for the Camp Barnabas, and be praying for the senior luncheon coming up here just very shortly. Okay, so let's look at the God of all comfort. Now, we come to this passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians is all the books of the Bible are obviously unique, but 2 Corinthians is written to a group of people who were struggling some. And as with their struggles, Paul had rebuked them in some areas. 2 Corinthians, he hasn't made it back yet. They're complaining because he hasn't made it back yet. This is one of his most personal books. As you get there and you read, you listen to it in the reading of it, he's talking about himself. He's not glorying in himself, but he's trying to help them understand, because some of them are a little grumpy. You ever met somebody that was grumpy? And it happens around church all the time. I don't know why people, it would be the most happy, joyous place in all the world. But you know what? There's some grumpy people sometimes. And these people, some, not all, because there's a lot of great, and you're going to see that even when we read some of it. There's some people in there that don't understand why Paul is this or Paul that, and they're questioning Paul's apostleship. They're questioning about even his appearance. They're questioning the way he teaches and the way he preaches. Not everybody. Sometimes you're going to have somebody in the midst that's going to cause problems, going to cause issues. And I know we've seen that before in churches. You've seen that before in schools. You've seen that before. There's, you know, the majority of the people are happy, but there's a few that want to just rile things up. And Paul is writing this letter to try to help these people understand this. And he's trying to encourage them that people go through difficult times. They use the word sufferings here, and that's the sufferings of Christ. And it's the idea that, hey, you might be going through a suffering, but you're doing it for Christ. And if you're doing it for Christ, remember, God can help you through all this. And I worked for a long time to try to figure out the best outline that I could come up with for these verses, but it just seemed like it's easier and it flows a little bit better just to teach it. In verse number 10, there is an outline that's found, who delivered us from so great a death, talking about how God helped them in the past, and doth deliver, talking about the present, and whom we trust that he will also yet deliver us. So Paul's talking about how God has comforted him. He is the God of all comfort. Now, when we consider that, we can say yes, we can say amen, we can lift our hands and be excited about that, but Paul had been through a lot. when he's sitting here talking to this church at Corinth and realizing some of the things they're going through, they said, hey, remember what I've gone through. Remember what I've done. Not that he's glorying in this. He's glorying in the fact that God is taking care of him in the past. He's taking care of him right now, and he's taking care of him in the future. He believes that. He trusts that. So when we look at things such as discouragement and injustice and things that maybe Brother Gregor's been teaching a little bit about, we're thinking, man, life is overwhelming. Life is hard. Life is tough sometimes, and the reality it is. Church of Corinth was going through with some people that were being troublemakers. They were having issues. They were having problems. And here he writes this letter, and he writes the beginning of the letter, and I think we're just going to walk through that together this morning. I know I put my remote somewhere. There we go. Let's see here. But before we get to that spot, let's look at another spot where he wrote in 2 Corinthians. He's speaking to them, and he reminds them of what he had gone through. Once again, Paul in no way, shape, or form in my mind is speaking as in the way, hey, don't here feel sorry for me. He's not doing that. He is reminding them of what they went through and how God has helped them. He is glorifying the God who is the God of all comfort, and he's glorifying him and the things they'd gone through. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27 says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I more. And labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and death oft. And he's saying those things that he has been against, it has happened quite many more times to him than anyone else that he knows of. Of the Jews, five times I received I 40 stripes, save one. And he's talking about being whipped with a cat of nine tails. And once again, that is something that took many people's lives. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I was shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep. And journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now, Paul is here, and he is saying he had gone through all those things. And sometimes, I don't know about you, when I'm listening to somebody teach, or when I'm listening to somebody give a testimony of maybe somebody that's from another country or even a third world country, and they start talking about how things are, they're not saying, hey, feel sorry for me. They're telling people what they're going on so people know how to pray for them. But it reminds me thinking, hey, I don't have it as bad as I thought I did. The trials and struggles that I've gone through, and I've had more than once. You know, if you're a young person, you always hear people say, someday you'll understand. They kind of, you know, pat you on the head, and they say, someday you'll understand. When I began in the ministry, when I was here at 30, you know, many times I would preach about trials and struggles and tribulations, and, you know, some of the older people come pat you on the shoulder. Someday you'll understand what that really means. And then once again, after you know, being here 16 years, I haven't been through what some people have gone through in the trials and struggles and tribulations. And that has not always been easy, but it's still someday you're going to understand it, especially when someone has gone through a lot. And here, that's what I think Paul is saying to him. He says, I've been through a lot, but it means a little bit more when you read chapter 1, when he says the sufferings of Christ, when he says God has comforted us, and God is the God of all comfort and the God of mercies, when you consider this, and he's saying, God allowed this to happen to me, but he's the God of all mercies. He's the God of all comfort. He is the God of mercies, the Father of mercies, I think is how it's described in verse number 3, is that he is the beginning of the mercies, and he's the God of all comfort, even though he experienced this. He's not saying, hey, woe is me, send some more money to the mission field, I need some help. He's not saying that. He's speaking to a church that is struggling, that is going through things, and he's just saying, be okay. It's going to be okay. The hardship that you're going through today, I've experienced it, and God's seen me through it. So when we talk about the God of all comfort, let's look at this, and let's just go ahead and start reading through this. I think we're going to get through verse number 12, 1 through 12, but we're just going to kind of read a little while and just kind of go down it this morning. There is no sheets of paper because there's really no outline, but there's some real good things in here. Now look what it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. The first thing I have written down is the fact that he didn't choose this. Now, yes, he did choose whether or not he wanted to accept God's calling on his life, but that's really not a choice. We should do it as a believer. That's what. But he's saying, hey, look, this is the will of God. You're questioning my apostleship. You're questioning whether I should have anything to do with your church, even though I started a number of years ago. You're questioning all these things, but this was God's will. He said, I didn't call myself. I didn't anoint myself a preacher. I didn't anoint myself the apostle. God is the one that's called me to do it. So when he's going through these things, he's reminding them, first of all, hey, if you're complaining about me, don't talk to me. Talk about God. Talk to God. I heard one preacher say that to somebody one time. He says, if you don't like who your pastor is, go talk to God about it. He's the one that called him to come do it. And I was like, wow, that's kind of rough, but that's reality, is that God is one that gives it according to his own heart. So that's what Paul is saying here. This was God's will. This is why I was called here. And then he includes it in Timothy, our brother, because maybe they were complaining about Timothy too. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Then he gives his normal greeting, but his very sincere grace. He wants God's unmerited favor to be to you. And peace. He wants God's peace to be on their lives. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's his beginning. He writes why he has the ability to write this letter, why it should be read to everyone inside the church. And he's saying to him, hey, look, God gave me this position. I'm just doing what God asked me to do. And he goes to verse number 2 and he says, now I want you to have God's unmerited favor. I want God's peace to rule in your lives. Verse number 3 begins to talk about this idea of how God comforts us. And he says, blessed be God. He's glorifying God here. Paul's speaking of God's goodness to him and his fellow laborers despite the manifold tribulations they're going through. And he says, blessed be God. He's saying, hey, God deserves glory and praise. Blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, giving the idea he is the beginning, he is where mercy begins, and the God of all comfort. And then he begins using this word comfort a number of times. Look what it says here in verse number 3. It says, God of all comfort. He says it once. Verse number 4, who comforteth us. That's number 2. In all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort. There's a third time. Them which are in any trouble. By the comfort, a fourth time, wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. It's talking about a person who finds comfort, finds refuge, finds help in God. So when we're considering all the different things that happen to us in our lives, the tribulations, the sufferings, the hardships, Paul is saying, hey, look, God is the Father of mercy. He is holding back the things that we really truly deserve, and he's giving us those things that we need, and he is the Father of mercy, and he is the God of all comfort. He is able to comfort us. So I don't know what you're going through today, but it's something today that God says, hey, I can comfort you. But you see in verse number 3, it says, who comfort us in, and I like that phrase, all. He comforts us in all our tribulations. Sometimes tribulations are different for other people. Now, I have sometimes people come up to me and say, hey, pastor, I feel so guilty. I said, why? And they're saying, I'm going through this thing, but it's really, really small compared to someone else who's dying of cancer. And I tell them, hey, look, what's happening to you is real, it's true, and it hurts just as much as it might be hurting someone else who is struggling with something what we would consider greater. And I say, you know, God wants us to get comfort from him even though there's times. There's nothing wrong with going to God and seeking God and allowing God to comfort you. Yours might be losing, we'll use an example here. Please don't think I'm being mean to animals. Some people really love their animals. Sometimes people take it over the top. They treat them like they're part of the family. Sometimes I've seen people treat their family, their dogs, or they're better than they do treat their family. But, you know, when a pet dies, some people take it differently. Some people are horrified by it. And sometimes when an individual dies, it's not as, you know, so there's different levels. Now, do they both hurt? Yes. To some people, someone losing a pet, it traumatizes some people. And I'm not minimizing that, but it means something to them. It hurts them. And that's what Paul is saying, that he is able to comfort us in all our tribulations. And whether it be the little ones that we consider little and or the ones that we consider to be really big. Some people have different personalities. Some people feel other people's hurts. That's what compassion is. And they're like, man, I can't imagine what they're going through. Other people say, oh, They're a big boy, they can handle it. You know, it's just different personalities, but God is saying here, no matter whether somebody says it's a little tribulation or if it's a big tribulation, God is able to give us help and comfort. He is able to give us a resource to where we can comfort ourselves, where we can encourage ourselves is another good word for comfort. So he comforted us in all our tribulation. That, and now look at the purpose here. There's a couple different reasons here, but look at this one, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. I like that. Sometimes there's a purpose and plan behind God's tribulations. Sometimes they're not God's tribulations. Sometimes the sufferings of Christ comes from the devil, as we saw with Job's life. But there was a reason and a purpose behind it. Now we can comfort them which are in any trouble. So the person that God has comforted us through our little trial or through our big trial, and then we see somebody down the road that is also at a trial, and the point is, he says, look, God has allowed us to go through this, so now that we are able to comfort someone else, unlike that, what they're going through. Once again, as I told you before, as a young preacher, you know, they used to pat you on the shoulder and say, someday you understand, and what they were saying is, you've never gone through what I've gone through. You can't come up to me and say, I know what you're going through because you've never experienced what I've gone through. And I understand that, but that's what the Bible is saying here, is that we may be able to comfort them. And I can go to someone now and I can say, hey, look, maybe I've never lost my father. Maybe I've never lost my mother. Maybe I've never lost my mate. Maybe I never lost a child. And I've dealt with people, with all those people that have gone through those things. But there was times in my life where I was facing a tribulation, when I was facing a suffering, and God comforted me. And now he is saying that I can go alongside and help comfort others with what? It says, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So as we allow God to comfort us during hard times, and we make God our who we turn to, and we make God our comfort, and we lean on God, and we depend on God, and we trust God, even when we may be depressed, or when we may be discouraged, or maybe when we're being treated wrong, maybe when the relationships are going bad, you know, we don't know where to turn, but if we make God our comfort, and God helps us through it, and God sees us through it, we can turn around and now go to someone else and comfort them with the comfort that God has given us. What Paul is teaching them here is, hey, look, you could tell somebody, hey, what you're going through is really hard right now. Someday it'll get better. And I hear people say that. It'll get easier day after day. And that there is some truth to that. But if we allow God to comfort us, and we find our source of strength and our source of hope in him, we have more to say than just saying, it's going to be easier tomorrow. And it's going to be easier next day. We have something better to say. We can go to somebody and says, you know what? When I was going through with something that I didn't think I was going to make it through, and everything seemed like it was surrounding me, and everything was so perplexed, and I was overwhelmed, I went to the Lord, and the Lord gave me hope. The Lord gave me strength. The Lord blessed my suffering to the point now I can come to you and say, if you learn to depend on him, if you learn to trust in him, he's going to help you through this too. That's so much better than saying, now, someday it'll get easier. Because, yes, I know someday as time, I know they say time heals all wounds, which I know that, and some people say, no, it doesn't. But at the same time, if we learn to allow God to comfort us, we can be like Paul here. Now, I don't know about you. If I was Paul, I tell you sometimes that I don't know how Paul did this except for God. If I had gone to a church and started a church and they started complaining about me after I had done all these things, helped win most of these people to the Lord and see the disciple and see the church grow and then went somewhere else through all these things, and then this church over here is complaining about me, you know, I would say, okay, I'm going to spend my time working with all these other churches that I've planted and that I've done all these things. I'm not going to worry about this church, but that's not what Paul says. Paul says, no. He says, you know, you're going through something right now. You're going through something hard. Let me help you. God comforteth me, just like he's going to comfort you, and it's going to make you able to help somebody down the road, to comfort them the same way that I'm comforting you, because I allow God to comfort me. There are people in the world, though, that do not allow God to comfort them. There are people in the world that force things on themselves and feel like there's no hope and there's no peace. But that's not the God I serve. That's not the God that we offer here. You've met people who are traumatized and will not allow God's word and will not allow God's to help them, comfort them during the time of suffering. So let's keep on going. We could spend a long time in verse number 4, but I think we spent enough for right now. Verse number 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound in us. So our consolation aboundeth by Christ. So this word sufferings is talking about the tribulations. The tribulations were sufferings of Christ. They recognized why they did what they did. When the tribulation came, so did the comfort of God. You think about this, the consolation, someone who is consoling them, someone who's helping them. He's saying here, look, when your sufferings came, when the sufferings of Christ, remember, if you're doing what's right and you're living for God and you face tribulations, this is sufferings for Christ. I'm suffering for Jesus' sake. I'm going through these things. And as I go through these things, the consolation, the comfort abounded even more. When the suffering came and when I got hit by it, that meant that God's comfort also came. So when you're going through something, don't forget that, yes, the tribulation may come. The suffering that is by Christ or through Christ, it is something that's going to be there. But Paul is saying, don't lose hope, because the consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That word abound means it's kind of stuck there, is always in us. And now he's saying the consolation is even abounding greater. Where the suffering is, the consolation is even abounding greater. And look what it says in verse number 6. And whether we be afflicted, now that's words afflicted, it's talking about the tribulations, if we have been afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Paul's saying, if this has happened to us and the people are attacking us, then there's a purpose behind this. It's for your consolation, it's for your salvation. It's for your comfort. As you see us going through this, God is allowing this to happen so we can teach you how to be comforted, which is effectual in enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, and whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope, and he says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. When they suffered for Christ's sake, he knew of the comfort they would receive. He was saying this would strengthen them, this would strengthen their faith. And he's saying to them, he says, that you're partakers of the sufferings, but also you'll be a partaker of the consolation or the comfort of God. God's going to console you through these things. That's why we see some people go through so much and we wonder how they can make it through. It's because God has consoled them as we allow him to. Verse number 8 even shows you a little bit of what he's going through. He says, for we would not, brethren, he doesn't start with this. He's down in verse number 8. He's saying God's comforted us in the past. He will comfort you. And he's entitled us, and he has also enabled us to comfort you. But he says, brethren, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. He says, I want to make you aware of something. Once again, Paul's not asking for them to feel sorry. He's just putting things in perspective. He says, what's important of our trouble, which is came to us in Asia. Now, we don't know what tribulation they're referring to. We don't know if maybe this was when Ephesus, when they brought him in and they brought the people in and wanted to kill him. There's a lot of different areas and times when his life was on the line. You see all these different things. You go through and say, hey, I only read about him being shipwrecked once. It's because he went through all these different things. Not everything's recorded in the Bible. And here in this story, he's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of this, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. They're saying that they came to a spot whether they were going to make it through it, if they were actually going to live through this. The sufferings of Christ, they got to this spot where they says, I don't even know if we're going to make it through. Look what it says, verse number 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. So they trusted in God, the God which can do all things. They were pushed to the point where they said the sentence of death was upon us. We were at the moment, we did not know if we were going to live, we did not know if we were going to die, and we learned something important during that time period. We learned that during that time period that God taught us a truth. And that truth is we knew we couldn't trust in ourselves. What do you mean? It means that we can't trust in ourselves. He says, God allowed us to get pushed to such a point in my life that I was pressed beyond measure. And I got to the point that the sentence of death was on us. We might even die. He said, but it taught us one thing, and he taught us something that was important, that we do not know whether or not we were going to live, but we learned something, is that we cannot trust ourselves, but we can only trust in him that raises the dead, trust in him that can be supernatural. And that's what sometimes our trials do. Sometimes our encouragement does. So, you know, he said, I don't know why I'm going through this hardship. Maybe God wants us to learn we can't trust in ourselves. Maybe God wants us to understand that it's something that we cannot trust ourselves in. It's something that we must learn to trust in him. And then he says, you know, we're trusting in God who raises the dead, which is the supernatural. You know, talks about the ultimate example of God's power. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So we see Paul saying, hey, look, he delivered us in the past, and he also is delivering us today, and someday in the future, he's going to deliver us, and he can trust in him. Now look what it says in verse number 11. Ye also bearing together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by means of many persons, thanks may be given by many of our on our behalf. He says in verse number 11, you helped us. He says, we've gone through all these different things, and don't feel sorry for me, but you're the one that helped us make it through. How did they help us make it through? It says, verse number 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us. You don't have to go this alone. You don't have to experience this alone. The discouragement, the hardship, the depression, the unsavory relationships, the problems that you're going through. Paul says, hey, look, you helped us through this by praying, and you have people that pray for you. You have church members and church family and other people that come alongside, and they see what you're going through, and maybe they can't physically help, and maybe they're interested in being a blessing. Will you be a blessing? Paul says, blessing because you prayed for us. Prayer makes a difference. Don't ever think that prayer doesn't make a difference. Don't ever throw away prayer and thinking, I wish I could do something more. Don't minimize what prayer can do, because it's God that consoles us. It's God that comforts us. It's the God of all comfort that went through all these things Paul went through, and Paul is saying, you helped us because you prayed with us. Verse number 12 is the last one we're going to look at here. It says, for our rejoicing. Now, what does the word rejoice mean? It means to experience joy. Our rejoicing, the experiencing of joy, is this, the testimony of our conscience. Then in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we've had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. So Paul is saying, there might be people saying things to us. People might be lobbing false accusations toward them. People might be enraged at them. I've seen some people that are grumpy become very angry about things at church before. I've seen the wrath coming out of them just because of something simplistic or just because they felt like it had to be done. And he says, look, when people are saying all these things about us, we can rejoice in this, that they have a testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, they serve the Lord. Sometimes people are going to say bad things. I used to think as long as you're happy, it's fine. And then it got to the as long as you're happy, it doesn't bother me. And then I got to the realization, you're not going to make very many people happy in this world. We should try to make the Lord happy first and foremost, and then let, you know, do your best to be kind to people. But sometimes you're not going to make people happy. You got to serve the Lord first and foremost. And as you serve the Lord, God will make everything else work out in his time and his way. Paul was saying here, I find joy in this thing, in this testimony. When I look at my conscience, when I understand the reason why I serve and everything I've gone through, he says, with simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. Sometimes people get things messed up because they do things according to their flesh and according to their own wisdom, according to their own knowledge. But by the grace of God, we've had our conversation in the world. He's saying the way we have lived our lives and more abundantly to you, word, is that when people were coming and they were offended by Paul, they were angry at Paul, they couldn't believe Paul would say the things he did in 1 Corinthians, they couldn't believe all these things. He says, I rejoice in this. I'm excited about this. I find joy in this, that I can look at them in the face and I can say, look, I did what I thought God wanted me to do. With simplicity and godly sincerity, I came and I lived my life, my conversation, my manner of life. I did exactly what I thought that God wanted me to do. And I can say that with a clean conscience. Now, I know some people will say, well, I think it should be my way. And it's an easy excuse. And the easy example says, well, I just did what I thought God wanted me to do. If it goes against the Bible, it's not what God wanted you to do. If it goes against the scriptures, it's not what God wanted you to do. And that's what Paul is saying to them. He says, look, they're saying all these things about me, all these negative things, all these hard things. And it is a trial and a suffering for you as a group, as the church of Corinth. This is something that you're going through. Now, God is allowing this to happen so you can teach somebody else. Someday they can benefit from the way that God is consoling you. You can console someone else. You can comfort someone else. But when they're making all these accusations, when they're saying all these bad things, we can look at them in the face and we can say, with godly sincerity, with sincerity and simplicity and godly sincerity, that our conversation in this world, and he says, more abundantly to you were. He's saying, even at a greater rate, the way we acted around you was exactly the way God wanted me to act. You might have thought I should have said something different. You might have thought I should have done this or I should have done that. But he can say with a clear conscience, void of offense toward God and toward man, I did what God wanted me to do. And we have to do that sometimes. Sometimes we're going to face difficult situations. Not everybody's going to be on the same spiritual plane. Not everyone's going to be at the same spiritual level. And sometimes two sincere Christians might feel like, I think it should be this way. And the other one might feel, I think it should be this way. And sometimes you got to do what you believe the Lord will want you to do, even when others might disagree. But you can also say, with godly sincerity and with simplicity, not with fleshly wisdom. I have not brought the world's wisdom in there. I've not brought my desires in there. From God's way, I've lived in front of you. And if someone shows you from the Bible something different, then you're like, okay, then I need to learn something. But Paul was saying, let them say what they will, but we can say with a clear conscience, we've done what we think we should have. So what do you do when you get discouraged? What do you do when you get depressed? What do you do when you have ruptured relationships? What do you do when things seem like they're unjust? You let God comfort you. And as you let God comfort you, in the end, when you deal with someone who has mistreated you, like the church of Corinth, where some of them were mistreating Paul, he can say with simplicity and godly sincerity, I did what I thought God wanted me to do. And sometimes we mess that up. Sometimes we make a mistake. I'm not saying Paul did here, but sometimes we have to say, I thought this was the right thing to do. I messed up, and I can learn from that. But that's not what Paul's teaching here. Paul's saying, you're going through a hard time. Remember, God's going to help you like he helped you in the past. He's going to help you today. He's going to help you in the future. Use this as a learning time so that someday you can help somebody else down the road. If you look at it from that standpoint, sometimes it's much easier to go through a trial. When you're going through a sickness or a hardship and you're saying, you know what, someday maybe God will use this in my life so I can be a blessing and a help to someone else. But the only way that's going to happen is if you let God console you, if you let God comfort you. Because it's not much comfort or console to look at somebody and say, it's going to get easier. So much more comfort is, I've been through what you've been through. God helped me in this way and God helped me that way. And he's going to help you also. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Holy Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I pray that you work in their hearts and lives. I know that difficulties are real. I know that tribulations are real. I know that afflictions are real. And I know that sometimes we face some really hard and tough decisions. God, I pray you that you help us, encourage us, show us what we need to learn from this passage of Scripture. Thank you for the example of Paul here. He said that you made him able to comfort others by the comfort you gave him. Help us allow you to comfort us during these hardships and during these hard times so that way someday we can also be able to help others. Help us remember you're helping us and you helped us in the past, you're helping us now, and you will help us in the future, that we must learn not to trust in ourselves. As Paul said, they learned to trust in the Lord and not themselves, but they also had a testimony of simplicity and godly sincerity. It was something that he could look at them in the face and said, I did what I thought God wanted me to do. Help us to live not according to fleshly wisdom. Help us not to live according to our own desires, but But as we live according to the Bible, help us to have the same conscience that tells us that it's void of offense toward God and man. Help the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You guys are dismissed.